Maranatha, and Mike Taguvin. Welcome, friend, as again we consider the truths of the living God from the Word of God. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. This is Bob Griggs with the Bread of Life broadcast, and I'm delighted that you've decided to join us for a few moments of Bible study together as we're talking about this subject which has affected the whole human race and began in the Garden of Eden, the subject of rejection. And we're studying presently about Jacob and the impact that it's had upon his life and how that Jacob has gotten himself in a fix. For he is headed back toward his homeland. He had to leave, he had to leave his uncle Laban because of the rejection that he had given to Uncle Laban and how that he had reaped what he had sown from Uncle Laban. And Uncle Laban had changed his salary or his wages some 10 times. And so he had secretly slipped away from Uncle Laban, and Uncle Laban had come after him with his men and was going to do him harm, but God appeared to Uncle Laban and told him not to say good or bad to Jacob. And so they made a covenant not to cross over a pile of stones that they put up and a pillar as a marker that neither one of them would cross that area to do them hurt or harm. And so Jacob can't go back. He's headed back home, and now he's sent word to Esau, his brother, who had vowed to kill him because of the rejection he had given to Esau. And now Esau is coming with 400 men, and it's a small army, and Jacob is struggling and seeking help from some way and some source, and as a last resort, he's gone to the Lord in prayer. In Genesis 32, verse 9, Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, the Lord which saidest unto me, return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant, for with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become 2 bands. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me and the mother and the children. And thou saidest, I will surely do thee good, and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. Thus we see the prayer of Jacob, as he acknowledges his need of the Lord. He acknowledges that he is not worthy. He acknowledges his sin. He confesses it to the Lord, and he rejoices in what God has done and how the Lord has blessed him. And then he prays for deliverance from Esau, and then he reminds God of his promises. And so we see verse 13, he lodged there that same night, and took of that which came to his hand a present for Esau his brother. Now he's going to begin to try to manipulate Esau, and he puts together herds of cattle, goats, sheep, camels, various things that he has accumulated to try to appease Esau. And verse 14, 200 she-goats, 20 he-goats, 200 ewes, 20 rams, 30 milk camels with their colts, 40 kine and 10 bulls, 20 she-asses and 10 foals. And he delivered them into the hand of his servants, every drove by themselves, and said unto his servants, pass over before me, and put a space betwixt drove and drove. And he commanded the foremost, saying, when Esau my brother meeteth thee, and asketh thee, saying, whose art thou? and whither goest thou, and whose are these before thee, then thou shalt say, they be thy servants Jacob's. It is a present sent unto my lord Esau, and behold also he is behind us. And so he commanded, so commanded he the second and the third, and all that followed the drove, saying, on this matter shall ye speak unto Esau when ye find him, and say ye moreover, behold, thy servant Jacob is behind us. For he said, I will appease him with the present that goeth before me, and afterward I will see his face, peradventure he will accept me. Notice again, even after he sought God's help, Jacob is trying to manipulate Esau, and he's trying to gain Esau's favor, and he says there in verse 20 that he will accept me. That's what Jacob longs for, and that's what the whole human race longs for, beloved. We all long for acceptance. And we look for acceptance, and we go to great extremes sometime in order to try to gain acceptance. Young people long to be accepted by the group. They long to be accepted by those about them, and they will go to great extremes sometimes in order to find a little acceptance. Many people get in trouble with lust, and they're seeking love. And they don't know the difference between love and lust, but there's a world of difference. Lust is selfish. Lust seeks its own, and lust wants its own way. But love is willing to give. Love is not thinking about itself, but about the object that is loved. Remember, Jacob loved Rachel and worked for her for 7 years. And then he worked another 7 years for Rachel. That's how much he loved her. He was willing to wait and give of himself for her good, to love and have her as his wife. But lust wants what it wants when it wants it. Lust wants it now. Lust can't wait. Lust is selfish and self-centered, and uses the one loved as an object of satisfaction of their own selfish desires, while love is selfless. Love thinks about the object that's loved. Love seeks to do that which is best for the one who is loved. And so there's a world of difference between lust and love, but we're living in a world that has confused that. And as a result, we see there's much heartache and much grief and much rejection. And we see many young people living together out of lust, and they break up after a while because it's not real love. They're both selfish and seeking their own satisfaction. And I've heard the testimony of young women that were looking for love, and they gave themselves to men seeking love and trying to find love only to be objects of lust. Oh, beloved, God's way is the best way, and that's why God established marriage, and that's why God established marriage in a way that it means commitment to one another until death alone shall part them. But we see the commitment is what's required, what's needed, and what is necessary. And so, beloved, this matter of commitment, I was talking to a lady recently, a doctor, and asked her how long they'd been married, and she said for 10 years, and she said, how long have you and your wife been married? And I said, August 1st will be 56 years, and she said, wow, you don't hear of that anymore. That's very unusual. And it is, sad to say, that is not the norm anymore. That's the abnormal, because of selfishness and because of rejection and the destruction that it causes in marriages, and how many couples split up and go their own way, seeking their own desires to be satisfied and met. And so we see here that manipulation. Jacob's trying to manipulate Esau in order to gain acceptance from Esau. And verse 20 says, "So went the present over before him, himself, and himself lodged that night in the company. And he rose up that night and took his two wives and his two women servants and his 11 sons and passed over the ford Jabbok. And he took them and sent them over the brook and sent over that he had. And Jacob was left alone. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day." This was a supernatural struggle that took place. And it's generally believed that the one with whom he struggled was none other than the Lord, because of a statement that Jacob made a little later as he talked about seeing the Lord himself. Verse 28, he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel, for as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." And Jacob goes on to say that he's seen the face of God. Verse 30, "Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." That one with whom Jacob struggled was Almighty God. And beloved, how many times God works to bring you and me to the end of ourselves, to that place where we will yield to Him and let the Lord God become Lord of our lives. Die to self, die to sin, die to our own selfishness, die to our own wants, and yield to the Lord God, for His way is the best way. And only can you find real acceptance and freedom from rejection by yielding to Almighty God and letting Him become the Lord of your life. Beloved, it is better to rest in the Lord than to struggle in the flesh. But the truth is, my flesh sure loves to struggle. As we saw in verse 21 through 23, Jacob still struggling in the flesh. He can't sleep, so he moves his family. And finally, he meets God, and the self-controlled life is dealt with in verses 24 through 31, which we will consider in our next time together. Till then, goodbye.